So as many of you know, I'm sure that there are seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, marriage, holy orders, confession, and anointing of the sick. And the sacrament of baptism is called the gateway sacrament to all the others because the only way one is supposed to be able to receive any of the other sacraments, the other six, is he must or she must first be baptized. And there's one part in that baptismal celebration, if you've been to one recently, that is really one of my favorites. And it's the part that where it symbolizes, after someone is baptized, that explains the meaning of baptism. And it happens right next to the Paschal candle. That's the big candle that's blessed at the Easter Vigil, and then it sits next to the baptismal font for most of the year. Only during funerals do we bring it up to the coffin and make the connection that at every baptism and every funeral, there is the Paschal candle. And during the ceremony, the Godfather is given a candle. Usually it could be anyone, but the Godfather is how I do it. And then he goes up to the Paschal candle and he lights it and he stands right next to the person who is to be baptized. Right? And then I say these words, Johnny, to the kid or to the adult, whoever's being baptized, receive the light of Christ. And then if it's an infant, I usually talk to the parents or the godparent and the godparents where I say, parents and godparents, this light is entrusted to you. Your child has been enlightened by Christ and is to always walk as a child of the light. May he keep the flame of faith burning in his heart, and may he go out to meet his Savior when he comes in glory. And so the idea is we receive the light of Christ, and this is the light that should guide our way in what can be a dark and confusing world at times. The light of faith gives us kind of direction. And Christ didn't leave us all alone, in this dark and confusing world, but instead came to light the way, to his Father. And that's what you hear in today's gospel. The theme of light and darkness is all through the gospel, but it's also because it's an amazing experience of the human being. Because we all live on this globe that revolves around the sun and spins, we experience the light and the darkness. And this has become a very important symbol for many, many cultures. We've kind of lost that meaning in our culture because now we have electricity and you can light up a Walmart for 24 hours and go shopping. But you could imagine how impossible that would be if there was no electricity. So think back with me, kind of back when there really wasn't any electricity. And we know that experience because when we do lose our electricity, we notice how dark things can get and how little light kind of a candle can give you. And daylight would become very important to us because that's when you can do most of the things you need to get done. And now it's hard to do those things in darkness. And then we also pay very special attention to the moon phases because then at least at night we get more light. Because light is very important for us. So today we read in the gospel, this is the verdict. The light came into the world. And that's Jesus. But people preferred darkness. And this is the same theme found in the first reading, where we read about how God tried so many times to help humanity come to see what is good and right. It says last year, that early and often did the Lord, the God of our fathers, send messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, scoffed at the prophets. They rejected them. And the rejection of light and the desire to stay in the darkness, really a tragedy for humanity, who was given the mind and the intellect to know, to know the truth, the good, and the beautiful, and so to speak, to lighten up the mind, to bring light, the ideas. So the question really is, why would we want the darkness instead of the light? The gospel says, and Jesus says, because with sin and evil, these things only survive in the darkness. And when the light is shown on it, these deeds done in darkness are brought to the light, they usually can't survive. And the best way for evil things to continue in the world and even in our lives is that we have to keep them from the light, keep them from being seen, and keep them from the world. Think with me for a moment of the sins that thrive in the darkness of secrecy that cannot survive in the light. Like an affair in a couple. People sneak around in darkness, even if it's daylight. They have to keep it in the dark. Theft and embezzlement, bribery, a lie. Obviously, you don't want that to come to the truth, to the light. Abuse in the family and institutions like the church and the government and the schools. Political games that played behind the scenes, making sure that people don't know. You know, confusion and manipulation, these all have to stay in the darkness. And even if things are done right in the middle of the day, in the sunlight, so to speak, they have this sense of darkness, sneakiness, secrecy. Secrecy about them that realizes that if any of it is brought to the light, any of it is exposed, it couldn't survive. You know, that is certainly, I believe, how abortion is able to survive. Don't inform people. Don't tell what the studies show. Don't explain the procedure. Don't show any videos. Don't even talk about possible alternatives. Keep it all in the dark, because we just might see what is really going on and what human beings are doing to other human beings, their own flesh and blood. That's how things survive. In the darkness, in the silence, don't talk about it, don't allow other people to talk about it. Even in the darkness of our minds. And it's just like when you go to the movies, especially like a matinee. And after the movie's over, you've probably had this experience, I know I have many times, you go out into the parking lot in the middle of full sun, and it is so painful to the eyes. It's so bright because you're used to the darkness. You've just accepted that's how you see. But when the light is shown on it, it's pretty painful. And so you're like blinded by the light, as they say, as the song goes. One is tempted to go back inside, put on some sunglasses, close your eyes, squint, you know, because at that moment, it's much easier to prefer the darkness. You know, we're all called to be people of the light. We live in the light of truth, beauty, and goodness, and everything we do should be able to stand the test of the light. As the gospel says, and see the good things we do and give glory to God. And if there's any darkness that's a part of your life, the cure is to bring it to the light and see it for what it is. You know, people who have struggled with something that they've kept for years away from their loved ones, from their spouses, from their families, and all the work it took to kind of keep it in the dark. And they felt, you know, they felt the pain of it coming to the light when it finally did, as Jesus says, everything does. When it finally comes to the light, they say, as painful as it was, they're finally free. Free from the energy and the work it took to keep it in the darkness. And so now it's out into the light, and now the real work of healing can begin. Not a sense of judgment or canceling or whatever, but true healing can begin and reconciliation. That's what the sacrament of confession is all about, bringing things to the light, to voice them, to offer them to God, so that then true healing can begin. It's not a coincidence, you know, that when we say we will see the beatific vision in heaven, which is being in the presence of God, that for all times it's always been symbolized as a bright light. In faith now, let us always be people that move toward the light.